Bibles again to the book of Revelation, the third chapter, Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Father, we just thank you for your presence here with us this evening, Father God. We welcome the Holy Spirit here in our midst this evening, and we just give you glory, honor, and praise. Now, Father, as I minister your word, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear the word of God and a heart to receive the word of God, because we know that your word will never ever return to you void, but it shall accomplish your will in our lives as we hear it, receive it by faith. It will work in us, and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Father, for your call and anointing upon me to minister your word, and I'm resting in that. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, for some time now, we have been ministering. I have been ministering to you from the book of Revelation. And my title has been Jesus Speaking to the Churches. Now, I realize that this was written by the Apostle John, and it was done many, many, many years ago. But how many of you know when Jesus speaks? Now, there are some specifics, but it carries over from generation to generation. Did you get that? Let me give you an example. The Lord's Supper. Jesus had his disciples there with him, and he served them. He gave them bread and told them to take and eat, that was his body, which was broken for them, and as often as they eat it, they are to eat it in remembrance of him. And then afterwards, he took the cup. He told them, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Hallelujah. And as often as you drink it, you are to drink it in remembrance of me. Yes, he was talking to those folks that were gathered around him at that particular time, but he was also talking to you and to me. Amen. Because when those words came out of his mouth, those words became eternal. Hallelujah. And they traveled down from generation to generation to generation. And they're just as powerful today as they were when Jesus spoke them to his disciples. So today as a church, we receive communion, don't we? Don't we? Amen. We receive communion. So we see here that Jesus is speaking to these seven churches in Asia or Asia Minor. And we have to understand that there's a lot that we can learn from just reading what the Spirit of God, what Jesus himself had to say to these seven churches. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, having said that, you should have Revelation chapter 3 by now, right? Amen. So let me begin reading. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, he who has an ear, and he also includes she. Amen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. Now, let me tell you something about this church here at Sardis. And we as a church, individually and collectively, must learn from what we are reading here and what we're hearing here. Jesus told them like it was. He told them, he said, you're dead. This church at Sardis is a dead church. Amen? Now, let me read down to there again. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God, or you can say sevenfold spirit, okay? They are not seven holy spirits, okay? But sevenfold spirit. I've heard it put this way, the whole spirit of God, and the seven stars. And listen to what he says to this church. He says, I know your works. Now that speaks to us as a church collectively and as a church individually. Jesus Christ knows our works. He knows my works. I cannot fool him. I can't get nothing by him. I might could fool you. You might could fool me. But neither one of us can fool the Lord. Amen. So he says, I know your works. And listen to this. He says, you have a name, that you are alive. Folks around say, oh man, that's a live church there in Sardis. But Jesus said, that's what they say. Jesus says, I'm telling you, you're dead. I'm telling you, you're dead. You know, we can have a lot of activity going on and still not be in the will of God. You know, I had to leave for a while, so excuse me for being a little rushed, but I had to leave. But I came in to the sanctuary, and you know, I saw the folks here that were praying, and I want to say thank you. Let me say it again, thank you. Thank you to those of you that was here in the sanctuary praying earlier. Thank you to all of you that pray for this church in your homes and wherever you are. You pray for this church. You pray for a move of God in this church. You pray that the will of God be done in this church. Amen? Amen. And as the pastor of this church, I want to say thank you, because that's what I want. I want the will of God done in this church. Hear me good. I'm more interested in pleasing God than having a name that Word of Life is a great church. Now, don't get me wrong. I want Word of Life to be a great church, but I want God to say Word of Life is a great church. I want the chief shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. I want the chief shepherd to say Word of Life is a great church because they are doing what I call them to do. Amen. Everybody wants to be complimented, and I'm honored I've been told this. I've had pastors come in, preach for us, and they tell me, Pastor James, you have a great church. I say, praise God, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. But you know what? I can't rest right there in what man says. Oh, hear me good. I am grateful. And I'm thankful. Amen. I mean, no pastor wants to hear someone tell him, man, you got a terrible church. Especially if it's true. If it's true. Now, people are going to say bad things about you as long as it's not true. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I say, long as it's not true. But my concern, hear me good, my concern is, what does the chief shepherd of this church think about this church? Let's look at this on from the individual standpoint. People can say, Pastor Redfern, boy, he's just a great guy. He's a great pastor, and glory to God for him. Thank God for him. And if you've said that about me, I say thank you. God bless you. To God be the glory. Amen? But what's more important to me is what Jesus is saying about me. Don't you feel the same way about yourself? Amen. And if we're going to get praise from the Lord Jesus Christ as a church, that means then we must do what he tells us to do. We must abide by his word and not seek to be men pleasers, but God pleasers. Let me say that again. We must not seek to be men pleasers, but God pleasers. And when you seek to please God, not everybody going to be happy with you. They're not. Amen. And that's what Jesus was telling this church here at Sardis. You have a name. You have a name that you are alive. A lot of activities going on, this, that, and the other. But Jesus said, but I'm telling you, and our Lord and Savior is a loving Savior. He loves us. And anything he tells the churches, he tells them to benefit them. Doesn't the Bible say that God chastises us? Matter of fact, the Bible says if God don't chastise you, you're illegitimate. Well, what do you mean, chastisement? Pastor James, is he going to throw some kind of disease on me? Is he going to give me cancer? Is he going to cause me to have a stroke? Is he just trying to teach me? No. He corrects us. He corrects us by his word. He corrects us by convicting us. How many times have you wanted to do something and you knew it wasn't right, and you knew God didn't want you to do it, but you went and did it anyway, and you was convicted because of your disobedience? Did that mean God didn't love you? Not at all. He loves us. Matter of fact, the Bible plainly tells us God chastises whom he loves. He chastises, in other words, he corrects who he loves. He's a father. How many of you that are parents have corrected your children when they were wrong? I hope you did. If you're a good parent, correct them. Don't just let them walk off a cliff just because you don't want to hurt their feelings. So Jesus told his church, Sardis, you know, you have a name. You have a name. Some folks saying good things about you. This is a live church. This is a going church. This church got it going on. And there are churches like that today. You know, there's a lot going on, but we have to stop and think. Take inventory, what we have going on, does it please God? Amen. So we understand, it's what Jesus says about us that really counts. Now look at verse 2. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. They had a little life left. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Lift your hand. Lift your right hand to the Lord right now. And say out loud, say, speak to me, Jesus.
Speak to me, Jesus.
Amen. Tell you one thing, we're too close to the coming of the Lord to be fooling around, wasting time. Hallelujah. So he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. In other words, if you don't do something about this you're going to be completely dead. There's a little life left in you. There's a little life left in you. But do something about it. Let me read verse 2 from the New Living Translation. Verse 2, New Living Translation. It says, wake up. Strengthen what little remains. For even what is left is almost dead. You see it? They have it on the screen. Let me start over. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains. For even what is left is almost dead. Now, he's talking to this church at Sardis. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. That's the New Living Translation of verse 2, Revelation 3. Now this is a loving shepherd, chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, speaking to his church. So you're not pleasing my Father, church. That's what he was telling his church at Sardis. You're not pleasing my Father. So how do I please him? Walk according to his word. walk according to his word. Be obedient to his word. All of it. Make a decision and stand by it, that you're going to love your fellow brothers and sisters. You may not agree on everything, but you're going to love them. You're going to pray for them. Folks, listen, but this is what we have to grab a hold of. We are a family. You hear me? We are a family. That don't mean we agree on everything. That don't mean we like the same thing. You might like pie, I might like cake, but we can still get along. Can I tell you something else? Learn to have patience with one another. Lord, I thank you for the few amens I got. Let's have patience with one another. Do you know the makeup of a church? Or I'm saying this way, the church is made up of people from different walks of life. You have some coming in from that side of the tracks. You got some coming in from the west side, this side of the tracks. Got some coming in where there were no tracks. You just got different people coming in. And look, that's the family of God. Most of you probably was not raised the same way my sister and I were. Maybe similar, I don't know. We got some folks in this church came down from the city, some from the country. But guess what? If we're born again, we're all part of the body of Christ. We family. We family. And if we family, we need to have each other's back. Even though we may not agree on everything. You follow me? Now don't get me wrong. We agree on the fundamentals of the Word of God. You got me? Amen. In other words, then you must be born again. We agree on that. Amen?
Amen.
But we're family. And so we got to learn to love each other as family and pray for one another. Is it okay, guys, if I pray for you and ask for God's best for you on your behalf? Lord, bless my brother, my sister, and you may see a weak area in their lives or whatever, pray for them. Not that God kill them, but that God heal them. Because, listen at this, everybody look at me. When you are strong, that makes me stronger. Because we are part of the same body. I was walking earlier today in my house. I was heading from a bedroom to the bathroom, and I just had a real brief, very, very, very brief pain in my left foot, just like that, just in my left foot. But can I tell you something? It shook my whole body. My body went, and it was gone, and I was fine. What am I saying? For just a brief moment, my left foot had an issue, but it affected my whole body. That's the reason we should pray for one another and help one another. Now, if it had continued to hurt, then I would have been praying over it. I probably took this hand here and laid on it, rub it, and whatever I needed to do. Now I got my hands helping out my feet. This hand can't say, "Hey, that's your problem, buddy. I ain't coming down there with you. I'm up here." I get to scratch the head and feed the face. I get to do all those things. I'm not coming down there with you. No, that wouldn't be beneficial for the hand, because we're all part of the body of Christ. We must pray for one another, because when you're strong, I'm strong. Look at somebody and tell them that. Why don't you? Well, stop. Let me say it. Let's rephrase it. When you are strong, that makes me stronger. It makes us, see what it is, it makes us stronger as a body. Do you hear that? It makes us stronger as a body. So we're going to have to care for one another. Glory to God. So, when we're chastised, when we're rebuked, it's because God loves us. And he wants us to jerk the slack out so that we can please our Lord. Amen. And they were told, look at verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Let me stop just for a moment. What does remember mean? It means remember. It means take a look back. Remind yourself. And you remember the church at Ephesus? What did Jesus tell them? He said, you lost your first love. And he's telling this church, remember. Let me finish reading the verse. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. You see that? I want to read you something. Just keep your place there at Revelation chapter 3. But I want you to flip backwards to the book of Hebrews. second chapter, Hebrews. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have what? Huh? We must give the earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, folks, excuse me. We have a tendency to drift. Are you listening to me? And sometimes you can drift away without realizing what's happening. That's the reason we got to keep the Word of God before our face. Keep the Word of God coming out of our mouth, making sure we act upon what we know. Because I'm here to, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's just say, you know, you attend church every Sunday, okay? You attend church every Sunday, you attend church every Wednesday night, special services, you're there as much as you possibly can. But then all of a sudden, you know, something gets your attention and you decide, well, I don't think I'm going to church this Sunday because I want to go here, I want to go there. You may come to church the next three or four Sundays. After a while, something else pops up and you find yourself now you've missed 2 weeks. Continues on that road. After a while, you miss 2 or 3 months. And I see you in Walmart, and before I say anything, you say, I'm coming back. Or do I get that a lot? See some of our church members I hadn't seen in a while, and I see them somewhere, and I speak, I'm coming back. Problem is, they hadn't been back yet. Some of them been gone so long, they grown older and harder to recognize. Especially if they're females. I've had folk come up to me, hey, Pastor James, how you doing? Been a long time. See, and I'm trying to think, who in the world am I talking to? And once they finally tell me who they are, what I remember is black hair, not red hair, or green hair. Maybe their hair was long at that time, nice, short, and they aged a little bit, and you're trying to figure out who you're talking to. I'll leave that alone. Y'all still here? But it's important that we stay with the Word of God and stay involved in the things of God. Let me read on. He said, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away, and it can easily happen. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Hallelujah. I've heard it said this way. When the students are ready, the teacher will appear. Say that again. When the students are ready, the teacher will appear. Let me tell you something. God wants to get involved in every area of our lives as individuals and as a church. You hear me? As individuals and as a church. But if we want him to move, we've got to first be willing to move with him. Individually and as a church. Not just here, any church. If you want a move of God, you make up your mind, I'm going with God. I don't care who like it and who don't like it. I'm going with God. I'm sticking with the word of God. I'm staying with what I've heard. I'm staying with the word of God that I've heard, the truth that I've heard, because the truth that I know makes me free. That is, if I act on that truth that I know. Hallelujah. We got to act on what we know. We got to act on what we know. Glory be to God. Are you still with me? Let's be a living church, a church that God is well pleased with. But remember, it begins with us as individuals. And we can be alive, even more living than we are. Amen. This is not a dead church, and I don't believe the Lord would tell us that it is. Hallelujah. But we gotta be about our Father's business. But I tell you one thing, I want to be more living than we are right now. I want us as a church to have a greater impact for God than we've ever had. I believe in the latter being greater than the beginning. Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, I'm getting ready to close, but brothers and sisters, let's not slow down. Let's speed up. Amen. And when we stand before our Lord as individuals and as a church collectively, what do we want to hear him say? Well done, thou what? Amen. Who said, come on in the house? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, we receive a crown, but let me tell you something. When you receive your crowns for faithfulness, you are going to be so grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ, because none of us would be there without him. We're going to take our very crowns and lay them at his feet and say, thank you, Lord. You are the one that's deserving. You deserve the praise. I'm here because of you. saved because of you. I look forward to laying my crown at his feet. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your love.